Europe's support for Ukraine flows for that same realization. It is not charity. It is an investment also in Europe, because even as we seek a real and dignified peace, we understand very clearly that Ukraine's security is Europe's security.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of In the Eyes of Truth update. This is everything but the Gulf and what's surrounding the Gulf and Israel and Iran, USA, and so on. Primarily, this is, of course, the war in Ukraine and other issues. So today is the 25th of March. Oh, Lord, we're almost a third of the way through spring. Weather's great outside, sunny, plus 12, plus 13 on average, and still mountains of snow, because there's so much damn snow. It's still melting. So it's melting fast, but there's just so much of it. So, what are we going to start with? Well, we heard the intro video, which is, EU is going to continue investing in Ukraine. They're investing in the destruction of Ukraine, of course, to the last Ukrainian, because, you know, that's an investment. It's their investment. On the flip side, oh, Russia, will thou sell us gas, please? Please give us gas. Because all of a sudden, all of our backup plans have gone to shite. We need gas. More than likely, and Moscow will sell them gas. More than likely. Do I think this is optimal? Hell no. I don't think this is optimal. I think this is the worst thing we can do. Let Europe suffer. Let Europe collapse. Or at the very minimum, if we're going to sell them gas, put conditions on there, any country given equipment, money, or anything to Ukraine, verboten, no gas. Cut off. But unfortunately, I don't think we will do that. I'm not going to go down that road any further and say that. Not what I would do. But then again, I think I quite well understand what I'm dealing with in the West and certain parts of our elites still are under some kind of delusion about who they're dealing with in the West. So what do we got? On the economic front, everything's good. I'll tell you, first of all, Russia just signed a deal with Vietnam. It's going to build their first nuclear power plant. So Vietnam is also going away from coal, gas, and oil, in this case for electricity, because they'll go into nuclear. Can't get better deal than nuclear. And let's not forget, Russia, though it hasn't commercialized yet, sooner or later is going to start commercializing those mini nuclear power plants. That could quite easily, you could have one for every village, or every couple of villages, depending on how much power they're putting out. And chances of even a meltdown are minimal damage. I mean, they're very small, very localized if anything happens. Everyone's scrambling for Russian oil and gas, except for Japan. Here you see pictures of Japanese Prime Minister. She's putting down flowers on the memorial to the pilots that dropped the two atom bombs on Nagasaki, Hiroshima. By the way, the two most Christian cities in with the highest percentage of Christian population in Japan. America was destroying Christians. I wonder why. Anyways, why they chose those two cities, as a matter of fact. So anyways, where were we? Ah, yes, she's putting down flowers. You want to talk about total Stockholm Syndrome simps. So Japan is now, which was getting 90% of its oil and gas from the Middle East, because America's just crashed that out for them. Not only has just put flowers on the guys that nuked, literally nuked, Japan, but is now seeking to sign deals with the U.S. government, long-term oil deals at maximum price. I'll leave it at that. I don't know what else to say about this. I mean, you want to talk about the Japanese have their balls cut off and they're held in somewhere in Fort Knox. Geez, you know, the country is literally dying out before our eyes, with the second lowest birth rate in the world. It's imported a lot of Pakistanis that now decided to set up their own little jihadi state in the middle, because the Pakistanis tend to do that, because a lot of those Pakistanis that you bring in are actually Sunni religious fanatics. Pakistan has a bad deal about that. You just don't have to look very far. You see it everywhere. You got the Pakistani workers or whomever start getting imported, and they set up their own little Shari state. And they started doing little marches in Japan and all that, screaming, you know, that we're taking over, and so on and so on. That's why the previous Japanese government fell. She comes into power, and we got what we got. So I'm definitely need to have a talk with Pascal about what's going on in Japan at this point. How this all squares up with they've got psychosis, obviously. Anyway, I mean that there is just that I got no more words for that. We'll move on. So scramble for Russian oil and gas. We've got Sri Lanka's now wanting deals. Everybody else wanting deals. Problem is. The hole that was made by America, I mean, let's put it where it is, and America, the hole that was made by the Americans and the Israelis, the Zionist coalition, in the oil and gas supply of the world, you'd need another two Russias, maybe Russia and a half. That's about 25 million barrels a day that are really not coming out. Oh, part of it is, there's still about 5 million barrels a day coming out through the southern pipelines in Saudi Arabia onto the Red Sea. That is, if the Houthis don't take those out. So right now, you're down 20 million barrels. Russia produces 11 million barrels. America, 13 million barrels. Russia uses 5 million barrels or so, 4 million barrels internally, and sells 7 million barrels. U.S. doesn't make, U.S. uses a lot more. Considering the U.S. industrial base is so low these days, it's amazing the U.S. still uses that much oil and gas, because everything's based truck by truck. You know, everything gets there by truck. Everybody's on the road. There's no really mass transit worth anything to move people around. So everybody's stuck on cars. Gasoline prices are a shock to everything, because everything instantly goes up in price. I mean, diesel, you take out diesel and America goes into like Middle Ages, or maybe the 1800s, minus trains. Because the trains are inadequate enough to carry everything that needs to be carried, not even close. Well, the vast majority of American supplies are carried by truck. And I'm not talking about from a railhead, I'm talking from port to warehouse, from warehouse to store. It's all trucks. So yeah, U.S. is very, very dependent on the price of fuel. And it does import. And everybody is talking about Venezuela, 800,000 barrels. That's literally all Venezuela is able to produce right now. If you want more investment time, lots of investment time. I mean, we're talking about you're going to need to invest at least was it 3 to 5 years, I think, was the scope. And they're looking at up to $20, $30, $40 billion, you know, until there's actually until it's well documented how much and what is, it's very hard to say, even Venezuela, let alone what's going on in the Middle East. But it's massive investment. So that's not going to answer to the U.S. short term. Sorry for boys and girls, this is long term. And the damage done in the Middle East is going to keep those prices nice and high for the next at least 2 years, maybe longer. That's what they call short-term inflation these days. And the reality is, prices are not really going to go down. So, what do we got? I'm going to do the front at the very end. On French television, we had a commentary, the video you're about to watch, where they quite literally, on live television, told Trump to go fuck off. Word for word, translation from French.
Alors écoutez, alors je vais en faire un plaisir. Il s'est tiré une balle dans le pied, il voulait envahir un pays de l'Union Européenne, le Groenland, il y a quelque temps, et puis maintenant, ses vieux amis qu'il n'a pas consultés, qu'il a méprisé, notamment les Britanniques, qu'il a dit, on s'en souviendra. Alors si vous me poussez, voilà, et bien maintenant il a besoin de nous, et bien qu'il aille se faire foutre, franchement.
Ah, attendez, vous y allez trop fort du coup.
Ah bah du coup, vous l'avez voulu.
French. This is the relationship now between Europe. But still, the European powers want to continue this war with Russia. They want to expand this war with Russia with no backstop. Because if they ever stop, I mean, they can't stop. Let's face the reality. They can't stop because the moment they stop, all the pissed off peasants are going to go, why are we poor? Why did you ruin our lives and the future of our children? I think you need to pay for this. And they know this. So they're on a one-way train. Whether that train takes a few detours and takes longer to get off that cliff or not, that's a secondary thing. But they're on there. And just to back this up, watch this Tucker Carlson episode. This is classic. Tucker just trolls the Europeans so well. In this case, the British. Hats off on this. Hats off.
For the record, there isn't any US aid going to Ukraine. It is all being paid for by Europeans. There are some US weapons that are being bought by Europeans going to Ukraine.
So. I know, it's so sad. You guys are going to beat Russia. Good luck.
I'm sorry. I think this is too important to have to kind of giggle over.
I'm not giggling. I'm mad at your politicians. They're liars. They're liars. And when they stand up, when Keir Starmer stands up to distract attention, or Merz to, or Macron to some extent, and stands up to divert attention from the disasters underway in their own countries to say the real enemy is Russia, I see deception and I see betrayal of their own people, and I have contempt for that. They're not going to go to war with Russia, and if they do, they're not going to win. That's just a fact. And so don't tell your people that to take the attention away from you. That's my read.
Yeah. So let's begin with actually the military issues. So Russia stopped two terrorist incidents. One, a Ukrainian-Polish incident, and the Poles are well involved, I'm pretty damn sure of it. And should carry a portion of the burden on this. 504 packages of heating insoles were sent, came in through Poland into Russia to be sent to refugees and the military. Each one of them had 1.5 grams of explosive attached to it, detonated whenever they'd be plugged in. Yeah, they probably wouldn't kill anybody, but it caused damage to the limbs. Terrorist act, basically trying to repeat the pager incident. These were supposed to be given to refugees. What most people don't seem to understand is you're now looking at terrorism on an industrial scale run by corrupt governments like the Polish government, the Ukrainian murderous thieves, the Israeli Zionist psychopaths that turn everyday items on a mass scale into possible object of terrorism. Think about this while you're buying your consumer goods. Because this can be done to anything. Your toasters, your radio, your telephones, anything. We're looking at terrorism, not just terror bombing and mass murder like the Americans and the Israelis love to do. And the Europeans too while we're at it, whenever they can get away with it. We're talking about mass terrorism of commercial goods. How long before mass poisoning of food? And for you Americans and Europeans that import most of your items, if you're not thinking this through and you're not scared of where this is going, then you're butt-ass ignorant. And your government support this. And it will come back, of course. It'll always come back. It always boomerangs back. There is no exclusion. So this is what we're facing now. This is America-backed regime in Kyiv, America-backed regime in Warsaw that's committing mass terrorism, or attempting to commit mass terrorism. And the Ukrainians have gotten so arrogant, they actually sent SBU agents into Russia to buy Russian drones to use inside of Russia. They're trying to get the big drones, fiber optic cables, and 20 kilogram cargo capacity, which is more than enough to carry a very large RPG round, as an example, to use inside of Russia. They were arrested, as were the people trying to smuggle in the explosives through Poland. So either the Poles are absolutely involved, or the Poles are butt-ass ignorant and have no idea what goes on in their country. So which one is it, Poland? Are you a terrorist regime? I mean, you kiss ass to Banderites that murdered your people anyways, so you're racial traitors, national traitors. We know that. Are you now a terrorist regime? I'm putting my money that Poland is a terrorist regime. And maybe it's time to take out the Polish government because the Poland is a terrorist regime. I mean, should we do an ATO on Poland? Because all this, as if this is the first time all this goes through Poland. So obviously Poland doesn't give a damn if anything coming in through Russia, I mean, toward Russia through Ukraine or any other of those countries. I'm pretty damn sure their intelligence service probably escorted the truck through just to make sure no local police officer accidentally stopped it. Russia launches 16 satellites in one go. This is the Russian version of Starlink going up. So, I mean, Russia, all this talk about Russia was down because of Starlink, they couldn't do anything. Yeah, they got on their feet pretty damn quick and recovered from that. But now you're seeing Russia setting up its own Starlink system everywhere. So, by the way, that means all the oppressed people of all the Western countries that they're going to have access to the internet now, just like the West does to other countries. Yeah, well, two can play this game. So when the West decides to shut down the internet because the protests are a little too loud and we don't want anybody to know what's going on, don't worry, folks. Soon enough, you'll have internet coverage through Russia. Two can play this game. Stats for the war, by the way. I love this stats for the war. On civilian casualties. In the Iran war so far, about 40% of the casualties are civilian. In Lebanon, 97% of the casualties are civilian. That's a genocide. And the Israelis have already said, we're going to annex this to us. And because for the Americans, you know, when it's their guys doing it, as Huckabee told everybody, we don't care if they, you know, if they annex whatever territories that 5,000 years ago were promised to them, actually to Abraham, to the descendants of Abraham, and the Arabs are also descendants of Abraham. So, you know, it depends how you interpret that, descendants of Abraham. He had quite a few descendants. But they're not going to watch Russia take back actually Russian provinces with Russian population that were divided up by the communists. Okay. No double standards. So anyways, Lebanon, 97% civilian casualties. Ukraine, 3%. And believe you me, two-thirds of those are on the Russian side. Kupinsk, Battle 2.0. Russian side has kept the eastern portion of Kupinsk, the high-rise buildings in that area, so the Ukrainians were never able to take that. And Russia has now cleared the southern portion of Kupinsk. So there's about a third of the city or so still left to clear after the Ukrainian counteroffensive petered out. Krasny Liman, Russia, now the main road into across the Oski River to Krasny Liman is now fully under PVO, FPV drones, drone control. And Russia started taking out the bridges across the Oski River. So that's going to cut off that whole region. It'll be relatively quickly after that because I'll run out of ammunition and provisions. That's what sieges do when you can't reinforce and resupply. And Russia continues to advance toward Ryakhovo in the west from Gulyaypole. It's got now, it's on the edges of Yehorovka, which places it less than 13 kilometers from the west, from the east side of Oryokhovo. So it's invested already from the south inside the edges of Oryokhovo, fighting northwards. And it's advancing from the western side of Oryokhovo. Now it's advancing from the eastern side. It's about 10 kilometers from the western side. Now it's about 13 kilometers from the eastern side. And advancing relatively quickly in that area. The Ukrainians are still trying to reinforce their petered out counteroffensive in the north to the east of Dobropolye, Dobropolye, Zaporozhye province. But that seems to have petered out fully, and now it's in a more or less static environment. So we'll see how the Russian offensive goes in that direction. Once Oryokhovo is done, there's also movement in the north to cut off the main supply route to Oryokhovo. Effectively, it's within drone striking range already. Once Oryokhovo is done, there's going to be that counteroffensive that the Ukrainians took some ground on. It's going to be relatively irrelevant because they'll just be walked around and now flanked from two directions. So that's the situation right now. Again, it's still the wet season, still the mud season, so there isn't a lot of movement. So there isn't a lot to say on that. But I'll keep it coming because it's not just the battlefield. It's the areas around the battlefield. Like I said, you know, there's going to be a serious shortage in oil and gas for the next 2 to 5 years at least. Now, for Russia, it's a huge windfall because obviously not only is the gas, fertilizer, and everything else prices going to go skyrocket. And we'll see how Europe deals with starvation in the lower classes by midsummer. Prices for food are really going to start rising, if not earlier than that. And fuel prices are going to go skyrocketing, no matter how much Trump lies about it's over and the deal is already here. But Russia is going to be one of the countries rebuilding Iran and possibly other countries. And that's a big windfall for Russian industry because there's a lot of metal construction, vessels. Valves and everything else that's going to have to go into that. Piping, there's a lot of steel that's going to have to go into that. And that's going to be a lot of opportunity. And they will, along with China, get Iran back up on its feet. And probably relatively quickly compared to the Gulf states. You know, some of these Gulf states might just close down because, you know, there's no money coming in. And the sheikhs that own the money are going to have to decide, do they want to take their money out and invest without money coming in from revenue, or just cut bait and leave. So we'll see. And on the finishing note, enjoy this great commentary from the great mind of Callus. I'll leave you with that. Share, sign up, you know, do all the YouTube stuff. Let your friends know, let your enemies know, let the paper boy know. And now, for Callus. Cheers. God bless.